The Spoken Word.
And now for another kind of oldies show.
Countdown for blast off. X minus 5, 4, 3, 2.
American,
all the ships at sea. Let's go to France.
Let's go back tonight to another city.
Rogers in the
with us
now. To those thrilling days of yesterday.
The Adventures of the Saint.
What
starring
Vincent.
The
hearts of men.
The Orson
Welles. Touch that dial, because there's nothing else on. You might just as well listen to Blondie.
Tales
George
of the Supernatural.
Tracy Allen.
You. Another case for Nick Carter, Master Detective.
Escape.
Daddy's coming down off the floor.
Suspense.
Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program, is on the air.
This is Orson Welles, ladies and gentlemen.
Have you seen any Martians?
What day is it?
I've been hiding in this empty house near Grover's Mill. I rose up and became a man. My wife, my colleagues, my students, where are they? They fly. I found that out. In the meantime, I watched a flock of black birds circling in the sky. They were killed by the putrefactive and diseased bacteria against which their systems were unprepared. You and I and others like us, you've thought it all out, haven't you? So goodbye, everybody, and remember, please, for the next day or so, the terrible lesson you learned tonight. What is there to live for?
Radio theater.
Goodbye, stranger.
Greetings and welcome to Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldie show. Not only are the tracks oldie, but yours truly is an oldie as well. My name is John Lovering, and I thank you for listening. The character of Harry Lime began as a minor figure in Graham Greene's novel and successive film, The Third Man. His role was small but very important in the story. From the rave reviews that the novel and the movie received from critics worldwide, a transcribed and syndicated radio spin-off began starring the very popular character, Harry Lime. The show followed Lime's adventures throughout the world, which basically constituted him engaging in a continent-hopping, skirt-chasing, pickpocketing, breaking and entering, and playing Patsy, but he drew the line on blackmail and murder. Yes, he was a thief, but with a conscience. Orson Welles produced the 52-episode radio series in England in 1951. It was entitled The Lives of Harry Lime, based on the Harry Lime character from the aforementioned Third Man novels and films. This radio series was written and directed by Orson Welles, and it's set up like a prequel to the Third Man saga because in the last segment of The Third Man, Harry Lime dies after a chase through the sewers of Vienna. This series presents the criminal adventures before he met his doom. Bank heists, confidence schemes, swindles, and such. These are witty and well-written, lighthearted dramas set in Paris, Venice, Tangiers, and on the Riviera. On this track, you will hear Clay Pigeon from August 17, 1951. The Lives of Harry Lime, starring Orson Welles on Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldie show, and thank you for listening.
Presenting Orson Welles as the Third Man. The Lives of Harry Lime. The fabulous stories of the immortal character originally created in the motion picture The Third Man. With zither music by Anton Karas.
That was the shot that killed Harry Lime. He died in a sewer beneath Vienna, as those of you know who saw the movie The Third Man. Yes, that was the end of Harry Lime. But it was not the beginning. Harry Lime had many lives, and I can recount all of them. Very simple. Because my name is Harry Lyme. Say what you will about Harry Lyme, he at least was honest in his desire for money and the good things of life. Harry believed in seeing the world at other people's expense. Sometimes the cost ran high as a man's life. Let me tell you about it. I know what I'm talking about.
And now, Orson Welles as Harry Lyme, the third man, in Clay Pigeon.
In 1942, my fortunes being for the moment at ebb tide, it pleased me to return to America, to New York specifically, because I'd heard that an old and important enemy of mine was in difficulties and wished to see me. I went to the hotel where he was staying, supposedly incognito, and made myself available at the bar. But nothing happened. I ran up quite a bar bill, and things were looking serious. So I ordered another drink. And then...
Mr. Lyme. Mr. Harry Lyme.
Yes, indeed.
I'm sorry to bother you.
Bother? If all bothersome things were as attractively packaged, I'd gladly be the most burdened of men. Won't you join me?
I didn't come here for that reason, Mr. Lyme.
I know, it's a friendly gesture, and I have a hunch we're going to see a lot of each other. Now, since you know my name, why don't you tell me yours?
That's unimportant.
Well, that's a matter of opinion.
Will you please come with me?
Well, I say, now, isn't that approach a little bold? After all, an establishment like this frowns on such an obvious...
Please, Mr. Lyme, come with me. You're the only one who can save him.
Me? Save anybody? You've come to the wrong Harry Lyme.
Please, you must, even though you hate him.
Hate him? Now you interest me now. Just which antagonist do you mean? I've got an awful lot of enemies.
We're wasting time. He'll pay you a great deal of money.
Money?
You can name your own price.
Price of my hatred comes pretty high. But for money and hate, Lyme goes anywhere. Lovely lady, lead on. Profitable business should be made as painless as possible, and this girl was a pleasure. The dark Irish type with eyes, the mood and color of the restless channel waters, and hair as blue-black as the proverbial raven's wing. I began to enjoy myself. My waiting game was going to pay off through an old enemy. It was a fine evening for cold mischief. We took the elevator in silence, walking down the corridor to the suite of my enemy. I studied my young guide. She caught my glance. Her color mounted. I smiled.
We're almost there.
I say, are you bringing me on a wild goose chase?
If it is, then it's the goose that lays the golden egg, Mr. Lyme. This is it.
You don't approve of me, do you?
Follow me, please.
Well, I'd love to. You're just like the rest of the public, dear. You're always clamoring for high ideals, fair play, and I was the first to indict without a hearing.
Yes?
I found him, sir.
To the contrary. I found you.
Please.
Oh, come in, by all means.
The Honorable James Hadley, I believe.
Aren't you surprised to see me, Lyme?
Well, not particularly. This morning, when the wind from the East River brought with it the usual aroma of stale grease, ancient garbage, and sewer gas, I had an idea I might run into Governor Hadley before the day was out. Aren't you in the wrong state?
Still the same old Harry. Insulting, conniving.
And you're the man I'm supposed to help?
It's not by choice, believe me.
That I do believe, Governor. The dislike is mutual. Well, Governor, it's nice leaving you.
Wait, Lyme. I'm offering you $15,000.
If...
Had I better leave, Governor?
No. You're responsible for bringing Lyme here, Nora. Perhaps my only hope of keeping him here.
You're quite wrong, sir. There are 15,000 reasons holding me here for the time being. How long I remain depends on you. Talk.
I know how you hate me. I also know your capabilities, Lyme. You're the only man to accomplish the job I have in mind. I've already told you what I'd pay. Lyme, I'm begging you to help me.
That's good. You begging me for help. All right, sing your sad song, Hadley, old man, about the beast you must feed.
You know.
Don't I always know, Governor? Knowing who was after your official scalp, I realized you'd undoubtedly come to me for help. Use one poison as the antidote for another, and made myself available. You found me.
You mean you knew it all the time, even downstairs you knew?
In general, dear Nora, though I neither knew the sordid details nor the price to be paid for my services.
Show him the pictures, Nora.
Yes, Captain. Right here in the briefcase. Here you are.
Thank you. My Governor, I didn't think it even of you.
You see, Nora, even Lyme believes the man in those cursed pictures is me.
Very interesting. Who's the lady?
How should I know?
Oh, come on now, Governor. Official manners, or in this case, even unofficial manners, demand that you at least know the name of your female companion. Has American etiquette deteriorated to the point that you summon such creatures with a "Hey, you"?
Mr. Lyme, I'll have you know that Governor Hadley is not the man in those pictures.
And good little girl should never, never tell lies, Nora.
Oh, hang it all. She's telling the truth, Lyme. I never frequent such clubs as those pictures show. And here, look at this one. You recognize a newcomer to the party.
Oh, yes, Cato. Cato, the robber baron. I admire his instincts, but not always his performance. He's a bit clumsy.
Trubus Cato. Gambler, ward healer, grafter.
Such dear, nostalgic words. You almost make me homesick, Governor.
Be sensible, Lyme. Can you imagine me in such company at any time, particularly with an election coming up next month?
Not unless you're even more stupid than you used to be, James. But then everything is possible.
Really, Mr. Lyme, this is the...
But cameras don't lie.
You, above anyone else, should know better than that, Lyme. How many times have you faked a picture to gain your ends?
Touché, Governor, but then I always do things the hard way. You told Nora that yourself.
Yeah, hard for your victims. Oh, but this isn't getting us any place. No matter what else you may choose to think of me, Lyme, you know my term in office has been clean.
Insofar as proof is concerned, the incorruptible Governor Hadley. However, these pictures prove extremely embarrassing, old man. The untouchable Hadley seems to have been taken.
I don't know much about you, Mr. Lyme, except that you hate Governor Hadley. But now he's asking for your help. No matter what happened in the past between you, please help him. He's willing to pay. He said your hatred came high. Wasn't his offer high enough?
Nora.
It's quite all right, Governor. I admire honesty and loyalty, even though I don't approve of it or believe in it. Come here, Nora.
What?
Come here. I want you to stand right before me. Look right into my eyes, straight in my eyes. Answer a question.
But I... Well, Mr. Lyme, what is it?
If I were the governor and you were my secretary, would you be as honest, as loyal?
As honest? Yes. As loyal? No.
I see. Well, why the great concern about these pictures, Hadley? Surely your indiscretions aren't that important.
Then you are going to help me.
Well, I'm considering it.
Then you know those pictures are important, Lyme. Cato's going to use them to ruin me.
Why?
He wants control of my state. Either his crooked syndicate moves in, or he sends these pictures to every newspaper in the state on the eve of the election.
Trubus Cato has improved with the years. This is almost worthy of me.
I never expected you to understand, Lyme. But I thought the fee might make it worth your while. Re-election means a great deal to me. I've worked hard for my office. Yeah. I don't want to win or lose because of a hoodlum like Cato. I don't want my wife, my family, to be subjugated to this kind of smear campaign. They don't deserve it.
Spoken like a true family man, an American and a politician.
Governor Hadley, there must be some other way to get the negatives than this man.
Please, Nora.
Elaine, the fair Elaine, the lovable Elaine, the lily maid of Astolat. High in her chamber, up a tower to the east, guarded the sacred shield. I'll get the negatives and the rest of these pictures from Cato. For 15,000.
Oh, thank heaven.
And dismissal of all charges against me in your state, old man.
What?
The price is cheap, Governor, for your career, your family.
But Governor, you can't.
Just a moment, Nora. Very well, Lyme. You'll get me those negatives and you'll receive your money and full pardon.
I'll take the money now.
I expected that. Pay him, Nora.
How? How do you know you can trust him, sir?
You're the only man I know who can outwit Cato. I've got to trust him.
My fee, Miss Peyton?
Here it is. You'd better count it, Mr. Lyne.
But why? I trust you.
Oh.
Just how do you plan to contact Cato?
Well, that's easy enough. Easy to find a man like Cato. The hard part is in avoiding him. You should know that very well, Governor.
Well, what is my next move?
Right back to your nice, snug capital. Return to your ivory tower, Hadley, and carry on business as usual.
Oh, very well. We might as well start packing, Nora. We'll leave at once.
Yes, Governor.
No.
What?
Nora stays with me.
I what?
Now, listen here, lad.
Cato doesn't know her by sight, does he?
I don't think so. He contacted me away from his office.
And she'll be our go-between. You can still pack, Nora. I want you to register at another hotel, the Plaza will do. I'll meet you at the cocktail lounge in 3 hours.
Just what do you think?
Nora, I'd appreciate it if you would cooperate with Mr. Lyme in whatever way you can.
Well, Nora?
Very well, Governor. I'll do my best.
You understand, Nora. We must trust Mr. Lyme.
Well? Who wants to talk in the hall, Cato? Let me in.
Come in, then.
Well?
Well, what have you found out, Izzy?
I am tailing Governor Hadley like you want, ever since he sneaked into town.
Yeah. Come to the point.
Who is staying away from the point? The governor is making contacts with every main hood in New York. But nobody wants to go against Cato. Only Hadley must be finding someone who will go against you because he leaves the hotel 3 hours ago.
Leaves?
Checks out, is taking a powder. But before that, he sends his girl down to the bar.
Girl? What girl?
Who knows her name? But who this girl talks to down at the bar, you'll never guess.
Come on, Gib. I'm not playing guessing games.
All right, Cato. So don't get sore at me. I'm trying to tell you all the time. She meets a Harry Lyme. I hear her say the name.
Harry Lyme.
This is not good news.
Harry Lyme's the only guy, but the only guy who can louse me up. He would have to come to New York. Come on.
Come on where?
To the Plaza, you jerk. If Lyme's to come into this game, he's gonna be on my side, alive or dead.
Mr. Lyme.
Nora, I never dared hope you'd be this eager to see me.
It's Cato over at the bar.
Oh, have a drink.
What are you going to do about Cato?
Careful, here comes the waiter.
Yes, sir. What will you have?
Well, what's your pleasure, honey?
Nothing. Anything.
Well, that offers a pretty wide choice. Waiter, scotch and water for two.
Two scotch and water, it is. Thank you.
I want you to smile, Nora. Look relaxed. Listen very carefully to what I have to say.
I'll try.
Glad you blessed me once before I die.
What?
Your smile. It's the first time I've seen it. Its radiance is breathtaking.
Please.
Now leave me at once, Nora. Though you're going to the powder room, don't return. Go to your room and stay there.
I don't understand.
Mr. Cato is preparing to beard me in his den, and I want you around when he does.
But
he's coming this way. Now hurry. I haven't called you by morning. Get back to the capital fast.
What about you?
Why, Nora, I never dreamed you cared.
Oh, of all the...
Your scotch and water, sir?
Fine. Yes. Here you are.
Thank you, sir.
Drinking alone, Lyme? That can turn into a bad habit.
True as Cato in the flesh. It is flesh, isn't it, old boy?
Same old Harry. How about buying me the next round, Harry? At my place.
Why, Trubus, old man. Are you thinking of taking me for a ride?
Why,
oh,
Harry?
Oh, it's all right. It's all right, old man. I'm game for anything. Shall we go?
Orson Welles returns in just a moment as the third man.
Thank you.
And now, Orson Welles, as the third man, continues with Clay Pigeon.
I know it sounds funny, but it's true. I was being taken for a ride. And a long one. A silent one. Once we got in the car, Trubus stopped talking, and I was not in the mood to make any conversation. I had my tiger by the tail, and I waited for his move.
Wait in the car, Izzy. This won't take long.
Okay, boss. I am waiting.
After our nocturnal tour, you bring me to a ruin like this? Really, Cato, I thought you were doing pretty well.
I'm doing fine, Harry. Place on the state line, not too far from the capital. Makes it handy.
For you or the governor?
Wait and see.
Trubus! Well, this is a surprise.
Hadley!
Who's this fella, Trubus?
The face is Jim Hadley's and the voice is almost identical.
Inside, Luke. Come on, Harry. And I'll buy you that drink I promised.
Sure. Drinks on the house.
Yes, huh? I could use one.
Now, sit down, Harry.
I didn't think I'd see you so soon again, Trubus. What happened? Did you?
Shut up. Pour the drinks.
Sure, Trubus.
Now, Harry, I'm open for business.
Well, to risk the obvious, this isn't Governor Hadley.
Hey, you bet I'm not.
The Hadley boys were identical twins. Luke here was the black sheep of the family. Also was supposed to have died in a train wreck 15 years ago.
Identical twins, the oldest pitch in the world.
Luke was the man in those pictures. So simple it always works. Even fooled you, Harry.
Oh, I can be fooled. I can be fooled, old man.
Luke's lived on jealousy and whiskey ever since he's seen the accident. He crossed my path several years ago just as I was figuring how to move into Jim Hadley's state. He was an answer from heaven.
Yeah, or the devil. I thought I had luck.
I can give you a fat fee, Harry, and a fine chance to pay off your old grudge against the governor.
Since when has benevolence become one of your characteristics, Cato?
What about this fat fee? You only paid me.
Shut up. As you know, I've already made the first contact with the governor.
How do you know I know?
Takes one to catch one, Harry. As I said, I've got Jim over a barrel. I know he's bought you to get the pictures from me, but if you come into my deal, you not only make yourself some money, but you can put the final squeeze on the good governor.
Planning to set me up as a clay pigeon, are you, old man? Sending me to make the actual transaction so you can move your syndicate into the state while I'm caught with my blackmail down.
No, Harry, you know I wouldn't do that.
To coin a cliche about thieves, Cato.
I know. How much is the governor paying you to get these negatives?
$15,000 and a full pardon.
$15,000? Why, Trubus, you only gave me $500 to pose in those pictures.
I'll give you $25,000 to come in with me, Harry.
$25,000 in advance?
Half of it. The rest when the deal is clinched.
Listen here, Trubus. If you're so quick to throw money around, toss some my way. I've been
and
cheated.
And a percentage of my gross to take when I'm in the state. It'll be like an annuity, Harry.
You listen to me, Trubus. You cut me in on this big deal you're talking about. If you don't, I'll go to jail.
You what, Luke?
Nothing, kiddo. I didn't mean... I was only trying to... what are you going to do, Trubus?
Is he?
I...
Take this rat and let Muggsy work him over.
No.
He talks too much.
No, I promise not to talk. You need me. I'll never...
Come on, Luke.
No.
Roll it.
No, please.
Come on, I said.
I won't, no.
Well, what's your answer, Harry?
Do all of your business partners get that treatment, old man?
No, of course not. He's always asking for it. But now ask for instance. Why, we'll clean up in Hadley State. Slot machines, numbers, racket, dope protection, and that's just the beginning. Harry, give us 5 years and we'll be making money from every man, woman, and child in the United States.
Compared to you, Joe Stalin is an amateur. I don't think I'll settle for a mere percentage, Cato, no. Our deal's got to be 50-50, or I won't come over and slide down your cellar door.
50-50? Why, you... Do you think you'll get away with this?
I'm certain of it. No, because the young lady was with me at the plaza.
What about her?
She's Hadley's secretary. I spent a great deal of time and effort on getting a complete file of your misdemeanors, Cato. If I fail to contact her, copies of said file will immediately be sent to all state and federal law enforcement offices. Your pitiful tintypes will be forgotten in the headlines about Trubus Cato. You wouldn't want to be named public enemy number one.
50-50 it is.
Governor Hadley.
Nora. Good heavens, girl. What's happened?
Harry Lime, he's with Cato now, or at least he talked with him last night. By this time, he might be dead.
Dead?
Why don't you call the police or the FBI? You're the governor. Do something.
You too, Nora.
What do you mean?
The notorious Lime charm. The man's brutal, merciless, vindictive. Lives only for himself. Yet when he wishes, he can hide all this with a cloak of magnetism. Great fascination. He's blinded you, Nora.
No, I hate him. He's a horrible man. I don't know what he is. It's been terrible, all of it. Seeing Cato waiting all night for Harry's call, not hearing coming here.
I know, my dear. Believe me, I'm sorry. Yes?
Governor Hadley, a Mr. Harry Lime to see you.
Harry.
And Mr. Cato.
Cato here? Send them in, please.
Yes, sir.
What can it mean?
I don't know.
Good afternoon, Governor Hadley. Nora.
Mr. Lime.
And true as Cato. Surely you haven't forgotten me, Governor.
Cato, I told you once and for all.
Don't be too hasty, Mr. Governor. My proposition is so good that Mr. Lime has come in on the deal with me.
What?
But you agreed to...
Lime, is this thug telling the truth?
I've bought certain contracts for your signature, Governor. They'll allow Mr. Cato full-scale operations in your state.
Oh, no, you wouldn't.
I can't believe it, Lime. Not even you.
The price of the negatives, Governor. Oh, you'd better give me those negatives now, Cato. Prove our good faith to Governor Hadley.
What good faith? Oh, but here you are, Harry. The negatives and the rest of the pictures.
All nicely tied with a pretty ribbon, Governor. A ribbon as blue as Nora's eyes.
You. How small can you get?
Now, will you sign Mr. Cato's contracts, Governor? I'll deliver the negatives to Miss Peyton.
That's right. Just sign on the dotted line, Hadley, and everybody will be happy.
Sold out because I trusted a rat.
Here's your pen, Governor.
And here. Back, Nora. Get out of the way.
Ah! Lime, what?
What are you doing?
Down on the floor, Governor. Down on the floor.
A gun. Are you crossing me, Harry?
Hold it, Cato. It's my deal.
Oh, yes?
Ah!
Oh. You killed him.
What happened? Those shots?
I suggest you call an ambulance, young lady. There's been an attempt on Governor Hadley's life.
My goodness.
And keep those people out of here for a minute.
How can I ever thank you, Lime?
You risked your life, Harry, and all the time we...
Save it. I had to kill Cato to take over his very lucrative business myself. I'll keep these negatives, Governor.
You'll what?
No, Harry, no.
This is one time, Governor Hadley, when you're not getting off so easily. These incriminating negatives in my possession, like the sword of Damocles, will be suspended over your uneasy head from now on. Call them Harry Lime's annuity, Governor. Now, if you'll excuse me.
I might have expected this.
And I was beginning to think you were a human being.
By the time I left the Capitol building, the stars were out. The stars. I was reached by hard ways. I searched for a likely alley. An alley that was dark enough, lonely enough. This one will do well enough. Better remove the ribbon. The blue ribbon. Better to burn them. Oh, another voyage of the night. Greetings, cat. Mutually. Come closer. Seem to be ablaze. First the negatives. My candle burns at both ends. It will not last the night, but are my friends and all my foes. It gives a lovely light. Thank you, friend. Your applause is deeply appreciated. I will add the pictures. Does that warm you, cat?
Gilbert, and what do you think you're doing in this alley?
Isn't it fairly obvious, officer? I'm making a fire.
How are you now?
Burning some love letters. Girl named Nora.
Nora, huh? Well, that's a good Irish name.
She had the bluest eyes this side of heaven. I'll leave the ashes to you, officer.
Hey, by the saints, you're Harry Lime. Come back here.
So long.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Lime returns in just a moment. And now, Harry Lime.
Goodbye for now. And remember what Ben Franklin said about honesty being the best policy. I wish I could. Just keep slipping my mind.
Well, I see by the clock on the wall, there's a dead fly. That means I gotta go. And I want to thank you for listening in to Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program, and I hope you'll come back again. This is John Lovering saying so long for now.